Romans 8, if we would, beginning in verse 26. Do a little bit of reading here this morning. Paul speaking. It's really the victory chapter. He says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself will make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." You need the Holy Spirit, my friend. I need Him to help me pray. You know, we can look at things from the natural eye, but we need spiritual discernment, spiritual understanding. And this is what Paul is saying here. You and I that are hid with Christ in God, that we have the Holy Spirit, we're regenerated, we're saved, born again. He's telling us we don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit of God will help us. Amen. And the Spirit of God with groanings that no man or which cannot be uttered. And then verse 27, "And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Amen. I mean, I love that. The Spirit groans for us, makes intercession for us according to his will. Amen. Amen. I need his will. I need his will. My friend, you need the will of God in your life. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit helps us with that. Verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Amen? There's a lot said in this chapter. He says, "But if God is for you and for me, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. And who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Then who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? No, but as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Amen. Through it all, through everything, in Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors. And the Word of God continues, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's power in God's Word this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. And the message this morning, if we can give it a brief title, "More Than a Conqueror." You and I in Jesus Christ, that is a promise from the Godhead, from the throne of God. You and I are more than conquerors through the one who bought us and loved us. Amen. More than a conqueror. Let's go before the Lord this morning. Father, again, we just thank you for the sweet presence of God we feel in this house this morning. We thank you for those that were able to attend service this morning, and bless those who are not able to be with us today. Bless the live stream. Bless our visitors in this house today that they see Jesus. And Lord, help us preach your word. Enable the pastor, the preacher this morning. Let the true preacher come from heaven, the Holy Spirit. And help us this morning convey the mind and the will of God to our hearts. Lord, bless the children's church. Give them their portion. And Lord, bring us all home safely today after we've enjoyed our time in your presence at this house. And Father, thank you this morning. God, I ask you, extend healing mercies. Extend needed touches of God in every one of our hearts this morning, Lord. Lord, break every heavy yoke, every bondage. And Lord, let your people know the freedom and liberty that they have in Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen and amen. Praise the Lord. In the work of Christ on the cross, and we bring this up almost constantly, but it needs to be constantly repeated, and we need to hear it over and over and over. You know, Old dogs can still learn new tricks. Amen. If you're a car-carrying member in the body of Christ, you and I that have been in this for a while, we need to be teachable. Amen. We need to be teachable. We never get to the point where I think I got it all now and that's it. Now I just plateau out and just coast into eternity. Many try that, but we got to remain teachable. This is very interesting. I heard a call-in program the other day, and a lady had called in and asked the host of the program, was trying to defend, asking why their church, why they don't allow the blowing of a shofar in their services, you know, because in their mind, that should be allowed. That's just part of the celebration of our worship services, you know. And the host rightly reproved that whole concept, meaning in saying this way, that we don't go back into the old Jewish traditions and such, and began to very biblically instruct this gal how that is error, how that by doing that, you're thinking that that's getting you closer to God, and not only do you do that, but there's probably other things that you got going on in that church. Paul refuted that all in the book of Galatians. All you need is Jesus Christ. We don't have to even call him Yeshua. We don't have to call him Yahweh. We don't have to have a prayer shawl. We don't have to have a yarmulke on the doorpost of your house. I mean, I'm here to say you don't have to light candles. You're complete in Jesus Christ. It is a finished work. And if you got faith in him, that's all you need. That's all we need. Amen? And the problem is, in the religious heart of man, when we start bringing all these things in, we somehow think that pleases God and adds to our spirituality. When actually, when we do that, the Word of God tells us we are in transgression against Jesus Christ. You know, Paul said in the Galatian letter, he says, you know, when you're trying to be justified by him, you and I are found again to be transgressors. You know, and woe to the believer who is not rooted in Christ and the finished work of the cross as his anchor of faith. That's all you will ever need in this life, is faith in Jesus Christ and his shed blood, period. We don't have to add all the other stuff, because the problem with man and the religious heart of man is somehow we think that's getting us closer to the Lord, makes us feel more spiritual. But you show me that in the Bible, amen. You know, the old covenant was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It is finished. A new covenant has been put into place. And you and I got to obey that new covenant by faith. It's by faith, not by what we do. Amen. And the point I was bringing that all out is as well as the host of the program instructed this lady to say that we don't need that, and you're really sinning against the Lord. And even when you're not calling him Jesus, the Bible says his name shall be called Jesus, not Yeshua, Yahweh, or the guy upstairs, or whatever you want to call him. His name shall be called Jesus. And you know, he explained it so well in a right heart and a right spirit. And you know what? When they asked that gal, are you understanding? Do you realize what you're doing? She just threw that all off of her like water off a duck's back and was going to continue in her little thing. You know, it just shows me today the danger of being unteachable. That is a danger, my friend. Listen, even as a pastor, I know what I believe. I know what this book says. But I'm always teachable to the best of my ability. Amen? Amen. I can be hard-hearted and stubborn in some things, and some things it takes me a while to get a handle of. Amen. But somehow God gets through, because I still want the truth. Amen. Beyond me. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know, when I was in the years of legalistic Christianity, I had to repent of that. I thought I was right back then too, but I realized I knew something in my spirit wasn't right. But today I can say everything I feel is right in my spirit. Amen. With what we teach and what we preach and what we believe. Because we're not promoting a church, a denomination, a Bible version per se. We are promoting Jesus Christ and his atoning work on the cross. Amen. That's the central message here at Promised Land. And that is my responsibility to drill that into our spirit with the help and grace of God. Amen. And if we can believe on Jesus, everything's going to be all right. Eventually, everything's going to work out to your good. We read it in our text this morning. All things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. Amen. Praise the Lord. But in the work of Christ on the cross, we got to realize this morning that God has made a provision, first of all, for the sinner and for the saint. You and I, we came out of that world. We were one time sinners, transgressors. We were separated from the life of God by the ignorance that was in us. We did the things that pleased us. We lived for self, for me, myself, and I. We lived a life of transgression apart from fellowship in God. But the goodness of God in the provision of Christ on the cross, God provided to the sinner and for the sinner a perfect salvation. Amen? The salvation experience, the provision of the cross of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, God in Christ provided a way that every single transgressor that is yet to live, lives and yet to live in this world, has a provision that they don't have to die lost. They can come to repentant faith in the Son of God, put their faith in Jesus Christ, and God will give them a perfect salvation and redeem their life from hell and destruction. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank God for that provision. I thank God I'm not on the bar stool no more. I thank God I was saved at the age of 25, and Jesus saved me off the bar stool. I never looked back. I've been dry since that time. I was a weekend alcoholic before that. But Jesus gave me a new heart and a new spirit. I partook as a sinner of this great, perfect salvation. Amen? And it wrought a change in my life. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things of old have passed away. Now everything has become new. Hallelujah. So in this work of Christ on the cross, he provides to the sinner a perfect salvation. He'll provide to the sinner a perfect righteousness. Amen. It's an imputed righteousness. You know why many people backslide out of the church? They don't feel they can live it. They don't feel they measure up. Amen. A lot of sinners won't come to Christ because they'll just tell you, I have no heart for it. I don't want to live it. I can't live it. Why even try? But when they hear the good news, and the good news is that there has been a provision made 2,000 years ago, a perfect redemption, a perfect salvation, it'll provide the sinner a perfect righteousness. Amen. You and I, when we believed on Christ, translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, we were given a perfect righteousness. And what is that righteousness? When God sees you, He sees the righteousness of His Son who lives in your heart. Amen? That's good news this morning. Amen. And God is merciful to our iniquities. He's merciful to us. He's patient with us. But God has provided a perfect salvation, a perfect righteousness, and a perfect justification. Amen? You know, we got to hear that over and over. We're still trying to pay off the debt with God. That puts us back in sin. It has been a provision of God on the cross. Amen? He has provided my salvation, my righteousness, and my justification. That's why it says in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, you and I have peace with God. Amen? And friend, there's people maybe we can't get along with, but you do need peace with God. Amen. You can get along with Him as long as you've made room for Jesus, His Son. Amen. And I'll go on to say this, and I'll repeat it again, but it's the Christ in you that God blesses. When we say God bless America, God can only bless America as far as Christ is welcomed in America. Amen? And God blesses the body of Christ who has made room for Jesus in their heart. You and I, apart from Jesus Christ, are an unclean thing. We're unclean, unfit, unredeemed, and you and I are destined for the lake of fire. Unless we have come to faith in God's provision of salvation, righteousness, and justification. Amen? And we don't get it by doing religious things. We get it by repentant faith towards the finished work of the Son of God on our behalf. Amen? People say, why doesn't God bless me more? Why doesn't God bless me more? How much room in your heart have you made for the Son of God? This is my beloved Son. In Him I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son. Hear you Him, is what the voice from heaven said. Amen. God can't mingle with sinful man. but only on the blood-stained platform of where Christ has shed his life's blood has there been a perfect provision of salvation, righteousness, and justification for whosoever will. That's good news this morning, amen? Thank God, you and I, we have a perfect salvation, a perfect righteousness, a perfect justification. We receive it by faith, by believing that truth. Amen. Amen. We got people trying to hop in the shower before they take the bath, trying to clean up before they come to God. You don't have to clean yourself up. You just say, Lord, you acknowledge your condition before Him. Lord, I'm undone without God and His Son. But I look to Jesus and I ask Him to come into my heart and live here forever. And Lord, You clean me up. You save me. You redeem me. You give me this perfect salvation, this perfect righteousness, and this perfect justification. All by faith. All by faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, you preach on this stuff a lot. Because I'm seeing too many people in the body of Christ that cast, like that lady I was telling you about, they just hear it and it just runs off their back. Well, we know this. We know this. I had a preacher tell me years ago, that's baby food. Baby food. This is the heart of our victory. This is the heart of my victory. Amen. This is my provision of salvation. Listen, because of what I'm believing in, I will never know the fires of hell. Hallelujah. Amen. Like it's been brought out, we brought it out last night a little bit, but for the true child of God, you're never going to die. In a sense, when this body passes on, the Word of God considers that asleep, when we fall asleep. Amen. Death to you and I is just this body, just the ticker stops, and we just go on to be immediately in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Where we will continue the forever life. You know, you and I, when we came to Jesus, we were given a deposit of what Christ has won at the cross. It's a down payment of what's yet to come in eternity. We will get a glorified body. We will have a place in the kingdom of God forever and forever and forever and forever. We're part of the redeemed. We're part of that number. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when those saints go marching in. Oh, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, to the sinner, there has been a perfect provision of righteousness, salvation, redemption. Amen. Redemption. We've been purchased, bought with a price. God invested a lot more into you and I than we've given back to Him. Amen. God has made that provision to every individual that will come to faith in Jesus Christ. But not only that, the sinner has been given the provision for a new heart and a new spirit. A new heart and a new spirit will I give unto you. You know what I'm saying? The religious man does not have a new heart. He's not regenerated. You know, and this is an epidemic in the body of Christ. People today are adding Jesus to what they are. They're just clothing the old them with Jesus stuff. I'll put it that simple. It's just Jesus stuff. The proof is in the pudding. No new heart, no change. We just swapped addictions. Instead of going out and binging on the weekends, we don't do it as much, but we'll show up in church now a little more. But we'll go to church where the gospel is light because we don't want to feel conviction. Amen? We just want to feel good. We want to feel good in our fornication, and in our adulteries, and in our hatreds, and in our malices, and in our strifes, and in our prides, right? See, and that's what much of the body, or I can't really call them the body of Christ, but this is what much of the professing church, that's what they're into. And it's real geared up on community service. Listen, we as a child of God serve our community. But this is how we serve our community. That person you're working next to, that person you run into in the grocery store, that person down the street that God has put in your heart to go knock on the door and say, hey, invite them to church. That's how you reach your community. Amen? Now, community things are okay in their place. But they're real big on this stuff. Because in their mind, look at all the good things we're doing. But most of them are unregenerated. They've never been born of God, born of the Spirit. We need new hearts and a new spirit. And to the sinner, God has made provision at the cross that you and I, by believing on Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in, gives you a new heart, gives you a new spirit. Amen? And oh, like the song says, what a great change. What a great change in our life. There's been a change. There's been a change. There's been a change. Like the old song, I've been changed. I'm newborn now. My life has been rearranged. Oh, what a difference it made when the Lord came and stayed in my heart. How about your heart? Oh, yes, I've been changed. I've been changed, changed, changed. God made provision 2,000 years ago, a perfect righteousness, perfect salvation, a perfect justification, a perfect redemption, a provision for a new heart and a new spirit. And according to our text this morning, you'll read it in there, but we were called to that provision of God. Amen. Amen. You don't wake up one day and said, I'm going to give my heart to Christ. Maybe you did after God had been dealing with you for a while. But the Bible says, according to the words of Jesus, no man can come unto the Father but by the Spirit that draw him. Amen. The Holy Spirit had to prepare the soil of your and my heart. I know with me, from the age of 15 to 25, God was preparing the soil of my heart. I laughed at the full gospel stuff. I laughed when people invited to a Christmas cantata at the age of 15. These people were raising their hands, saying hallelujah, saying praise the Lord. They had a neat little program, but I tell you what, I wasn't ready for that. Amen. You ain't going to get me to lift my hands and go hallelujah, praise Lord, amen, brother, that kind of stuff, you know. Amen. Since I've been saved, I can't stop saying amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God, amen. You know, new heart, new spirit. We'll do that. Amen. 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 But the provision has been made and God has prepared our hearts. That's why you're here today. God is drawing you or has drawn you at a certain point in your history. There was a certain time that was God that intervened in your life. That was God that got your attention. That was the work of God that brought you low that you would even desire Him. Amen? That's all in this provision. Amen. A new heart, a new spirit, a calling to the provision of God. Now that we're saints, though, and can I just clarify something? There are religions out there that say, you know, you got to have a few miracles, you got to be dead a couple hundred years, and then a council will have a board meeting, and we'll kind of look through your file, and then we'll decide whether you can be called a saint or not. Would they just open the Bible? My Bible says we're called to be saints. The moment you believed on Jesus Christ, God the Father has declared you holy, pure, righteous, and now He calls you Saint Doug, Saint Carl, Saint Greg. Well, maybe not. Yeah, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, brother. Amen, amen. He calls us saints. He calls us brethren. That is biblical. That is biblical. That's in your Bible. If we would just go home, blow a little dust off the pages and look, it's there. Amen. Saints. But to the provision of saints now. Not only do you and I have that perfect righteousness and salvation and justification and redemption, a new heart and a new spirit called by God to this thing, but now we have what's called the work of predestination going on in our heart. And that predestination is that in the mind of God before the world was made, God knowing He would create man would fail the probation and sin against Him, and God would provide through His Son, by God becoming man, God would provide a perfect redemption plan for man. But in this predestined plan of God, God realized dealing with free will moral agents, He had to come up with a plan that would work in the want-tos of a free moral agent. Amen. That's why you can't force salvation on anybody. Amen. You can't do it. Religion will do that. It'll demand of you what in your heart you don't want to give. Millions are part of denominations today because they were born into it or they thought it's their duty to do, but their heart is not there. Amen. They don't want to be in there. They don't want to go to church. That's why I had a Lutheran at one time. I was saved out of Lutheranism, so I can bring this up. That's why a guy was bragging to me about their Lutheran pastors went to 12 years of school to learn how to preach a 13-minute message, 14-minute message. Because studies have shown you can't hold people's attention more than 14 minutes. It takes me longer than to introduce my message in that. Amen. Listen, as long as the Holy Spirit is upon the Word of God and the preacher for that gathered assembly, we can preach for 10 hours if the Spirit is moving. Amen. And you will hold attention. Amen. But in this thing called the providence of God, or the, how can I call it, the predestination of God, God had it in His mind that I'm going to take a sinner, provide this perfect righteousness, this salvation, I'm going to buy them, I'm going to give them a new heart, a new spirit, I will purchase them with my blood, but now it's already in my mind that when I bring that individual to saving faith in my Son, now we're going to initiate this process called sanctification. And in this process of sanctification, it's going to take all of the rest of their natural life where I'm going to work on them, but I want to do one thing with this. And God is saying, I want to conform every one of my children into the image of my Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? I want to develop them more and more and more that they be more like my Son, Jesus Christ. And friend, this is where the battle begins. Amen? We've been given perfect righteousness, perfect justification, a perfect redemption. We've been given a new heart, a new spirit. We've been bought. We've been saved. We're redeemed. We're in the Lamb's book of life. But that's the doorway. That's where you get in. Amen? But now this thing called predestination kicks into gear, the process of sanctification, and that work is constantly working in your heart and in your spirit, convicting you and I when we are failing God, when we are in sinful practices, when we're not measuring up to the standard that God has preset in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why you find when you try to go away from God, you become very, very miserable. Amen? That's why when we do things contrary to the Word of God, we feel like a dog. We feel like roadkill. We don't feel good about it. That's God in you, working in you, trying to turn your free will heart against that which appalls the Lord. That's why when I'm in little subtle flesh habits and things, I don't have peace, and I find myself miserable. And I find myself weighted down with oppressions and such because I realize I'm grieving and going away from the Holy Spirit who God hath given to us to help navigate us and help do the work of grace in us. Amen. I want to go a little deeper in this for a moment if I can. To the saint, God begins this process of predestination in His mind to conform every believer to the image of Christ, and it's a lifelong work. It's called the process of sanctification, but in this process, there's a continuous cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. Not to negate the responsibility that when there is known transgression, you and I must come clean with the Godhead, we must go before the Lord and acknowledge our sin before Him. He is merciful to our iniquities. He is continuously cleansing us of our stumblings. Amen. Amen? But when there's known transgression, then the Spirit of God, according to the Word, will convict us, contrary to what other grace preachers are preaching out there, that once you're saved, you never have to confess a sin ever again. You know what I'm saying? Like one preacher said, try that in your marriage. See how far that goes. Amen. Amen. I mean, it's a serious thing. But when there's known transgression, we got to come clean with God. Amen. Confess it to the Lord and forsake it. Amen. And if we do that, we'll experience not only just a continued cleansing, but in this process, we realize that God is moving us towards what Paul said in our text, moving us towards glorification. You see, I mentioned before that in the beginning of your salvation, you and I received the deposit of what's yet to come. Amen? But in that deposit, I believe before the Lord returns, we're going to get a little more of that inheritance in this life, a little bit more of it. I believe we will see more healings. Emotional, physical, spiritual, marital. I believe that Jesus will visit His church and come ever nearer, because this last day's church is going to be a glorious church without spot and wrinkle. He's not coming for a weak, kicked to the curb, emaciated church. He's going to strengthen the body of Christ, and He's doing it through the preaching of the cross. And friend, you better hear what the Spirit is saying in this last hour of time. The provision has been made. God loves you. He has died for you. He's provided everything that you and I need in Jesus Christ. But He's moving us towards the glorification. What is glorification? When I finally expire in this life, put off this mortality and put on immortality, you and I will receive a glorified body. One like Jesus has. One that He has purchased for us and He has put together for us. Amen. It'll be perfect, and it'll be eternal. Amen? It'll be eternal. It'll be eternal. Hallelujah. He's moving us towards glorification. But in the meantime, the sanctification process is what God is using to address your sin nature. Even though you and I have received a perfect salvation, a perfect redemption, a perfect, how can I say, He's provided it all, a perfect justification, a perfect righteousness, everything. You and I that were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, the sin nature at salvation was unplugged. It was rendered dormant. But the mistake many believers make is that it's still there. It's still there. It's still in us. Amen? Now, come on. I come up through circles years ago that said, once you're saved, you don't have a sin nature no more. Well, if that's true, why do we have so many believers living sinful lives? If you don't have a sin nature, if I don't have a sin nature, why do I get impatient? Why do I snap when I'm frustrated? Why do I get angry and blow my cool? Amen. Lord, I thought I was alone here. Amen. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Listen to this. This addresses our sin nature, which is our infirmities, our stumblings, our weaknesses. That sin nature is dormant at salvation. And the process of sanctification will continuously remind you and I that I have to maintain the way I got in by faith is the way I maintain my daily sanctification in Jesus Christ. I have to keep believing. The way I got in is the way I keep believing. And if I can keep just believing and resting and be codependent on Jesus and what He did for me at the cross, God has promised that because my faith is in the right place, He will continually allow His grace to work in me and to help me in my weaknesses and infirmities. We read it in our text. You know, we don't know how to pray as we should. Well, the Spirit helps us with groanings. You know, that cannot be. I mean, that's a work of grace. That is the Godhead working on your behalf on this thing called the grace of God. But it only functions when you and I are in proper biblical legal faith. Hallelujah. Amen? It doesn't matter how good your day is going, how bad your day is going. It doesn't matter what circumstances you're in. You know, listen, I find this thing works best when all hell is breaking loose. You find out how powerful the goodness and the grace and the mercy of. Now, if there's sin issues, sometimes the trouble is just it's our own faults. And if we get buffeted for our faults, we got to take that patiently. We learn from it that we don't climb Fool's Mountain again. But meanwhile, grace wants to function. God has given it. It's a provision of the cross. It's there. It's provided. Amen. It's like you having a bank account with your name on it, and the amount in that account, it just says unlimited. Unlimited. You can't outspend it. But you're living in poverty. Because by faith, you're not tapping into what's already a provision. Amen? It's like the old story, a man worked in a water plant, but yet he looked all the way, a visitor visited a water plant. There's water all around him, every place he looked. I mean, there's water all over the place, in the chemistry labs and the tanks and everything like that. But he said from the long trip there, he said, I spent 10 minutes looking for a bubbler to get a drink. Amen. You can sit in church all your life and never hear the message, but never hear it. We preach grace, grace, grace is available to you. Provision, provision, provision. But yet live like a pauper spiritually because you're not believing it by faith and allowing Christ to appropriate it to you. Amen. This is a universal message. It's for whosoever will. There's no partiality in God. Amen. What God will do for one, He will do for you. But He requires faith, and biblical faith, and it's got to be a legal faith that He can recognize and that He can honor. If my faith is in my church denomination and membership to that local church, that is not legal faith, that is not biblical faith, and God cannot honor that. In fact, I'm in transgression, and I need to repent of that. If my faith is when I go to prayer, I put this little towel over my head that's got some blue trimming on it, and I think that gets me closer to God, you know, I got to repent. That is not a faith God can honor. Well, I feel closer. No, that's an emotion. Amen. You can pet your dog and feel emotion when she looks at you, those big puppy eyes, and you're petting her, and she's got her head laying on your lap. You know, you can feel, oh, you know. That's what a lot of Christians do. Go through the motions, but our heart is not there. Amen. So, we look at God's grace. We look at how this works and this sin nature thing. Now, listen to this. That brings us to the battlefronts of the believer. We deal with this thing called the sin nature. That would be our sins, our infirmities, our stumblings, our weaknesses. It's dormant at salvation, but it comes to life in us. And it's reigning in too many believers' lives. Why is that happening? People that have been born of God, people that have come to Jesus, people that have one time loved the Lord with all their heart. Why is the sin nature? Let's look at the works of the flesh for a moment before I get to that. The works of the flesh, Paul said, are manifest. They're called adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. He called it idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, believing wrong doctrine. I was saved off a bar stool at the age of 25. For the first 5-6 years of my salvation, I was enjoying the grace of God. But when the local legalist got a hold of me and he started heaping all these church rules on me, I was going subtly into this thing called heresy and wondering why nothing was working like it should. Because it was a work of the flesh. We got people today in certain church circles, that hair better be up in a bun, there better be no makeup on that face, there better be flat shoes, there better be a dress down the floor. Listen, I'm all for dressing right in the house of God. But listen, I used to work on a farm and I used to bag soybeans, but you know, a burlap outfit, you know what I'm saying, doesn't mean you're holy. Amen. But when you realize that by doing things you think you're attaining the righteousness, God calls that heresy. That's that's a work of the flesh. And I can prove it to you. People in those circles are meaner than a junkyard dog. You say, well, how do you know, Pastor? Just disobey what they're trying to put on you. You'll see a spirit come out of them, and it ain't the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? Listen, I believe in living right. I believe in holiness, that our appearance should have a little something to, you know, that if Christ is in you, he'll show you how to comb your hair. Amen. And as I get older, I'm finding different ways to comb my hair. Amen. But I'm thankful I still got a little hair I can comb. Amen. At least up to this point. Amen. Okay. He called it wrath, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past. Now listen to what Paul said, that they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So the sin nature, that works of the flesh, will destroy your faith. Amen. When I'm giving myself over and I'm out of faith, it's going to erode the little faith I have. That's why you see when somebody goes into a work of the flesh, they get farther and farther and farther and farther away from God and from the body of Christ. It's a given. Write it down. Put it in an envelope. Mail it to yourself 2 years from now. You'll see I was telling the truth. There is a sin nature in every believer, but if the church is not teaching the body of Christ how to appropriate proper faith in Christ and His shed blood on the cross to get victory, that sin nature can remain dormant, then there will be no victory coming forth from that individual or that body of believers. And then we get strife, anger, church splits, seditions, the party spirit, amen, the adulteries, the fornications, the lustings, the longings, the illicit passions, amen. And then the flesh habits take over, the vices, little by little will creep in, amen. God has provided a victory over those things in Jesus Christ, amen. That your and my sin nature can remain dormant as I'm abiding in the vine, abiding in Christ, abiding properly in a God-recognized faith. Hallelujah. Amen? And so if I believe in, listen, if I'm believing and put faith in Jesus Christ, what I'm finding is that old man, that old nature in me is subdued more and more and more. It's not troubling me like it used to. And guess what? I'm a law keeper, not a law breaker, because I'm abiding in the one who kept it perfectly for me. Hallelujah. And I'm finding a little more victory as I go. But remember, sanctification is a lifelong process. When you think you're doing really good and God is really helping, all of a sudden you see the ugliness of something in your heart. And then sometimes the Lord will allow you to take you through a few things. Listen, friend, you got to understand, this process will never stop. So when you feel and you're being made aware that there's something in your life that the Lord is putting, and you're starting to feel like, oh, God, it should work a godly sorrow. Not the sorrow of the world, which is, oh, woe is me, oh, woe is me. I guess I just can't live this thing. I just, oh, I got a backslide. I can't live this Christian thing. No. The provision has been made. I can live this, but with Christ in me. Amen? Friend, you and I can't live a God-pleasing life unless the one who won it for us lives in us and does it for us through us. Amen? That's what the gospel provides. Amen. And if we don't understand that message of the cross, then we'll start getting all the books, we'll start getting all the fads, and we'll try to find ways where somebody can get the victory. And then we go back into transgression. There's only one way. One way. And it's what I'm talking to you about right now. Your faith must be in Jesus and His work on the cross, His shed blood for you. Amen. With those Israelites of old, you see the pattern in the Old Testament. They brought themselves, they obeyed the word, they came before God, their faith was in God, but they also had to bring that sacrifice. They had to do it manually. Today, we come to God, and I don't bring a manual sacrifice of what I have done through my personal work, merit, goodness, strength, what I've tried to do, tried to prove to God how spiritual I am. I just come believing on His Son, Jesus Christ, and I acknowledge His blood that was shed for me by faith. Amen. And somehow if I do that, then God's grace will come to me in return for my faith. As I'm abiding in faith, the reciprocity is that grace comes in a continuous flow. In a continuous flow. But guess what? I'm flesh, and God is still dealing with my sanctification. I'm in faith. I'm in victory. My sin nature is subdued. But as I'm walking through life, things begin to go on. I get a little distracted here and there, and my faith isn't always on the Lord as it ought to be. And maybe a circumstance will come, and all of a sudden I'll stumble a little bit. And then Satan gets in there and says, you piece of garbage. Look at you. You think you're something spiritual? You ain't nothing. You ever hear that? Yeah. Amen. Amen. But God says, you get up. Like Job of old, get up. Stand face to face with me. I'm going to talk to you like a man. Listen, there's times, just get up from your stumblings. When you fail, don't run from God. Run to God. Amen. Run to Him. Amen. Amen. You won't, if God, through Jesus Christ told Peter that if your brother messes with you, transgresses against you, in one day's time, you need to forgive him 490 times. Don't you think God might forgive you 491 times? Amen? In one day? In one day? In one day? In one day? Listen, we got to hear how God can help us. Amen? The Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict us. And to let us know, listen, you know when you do wrong. I know when I do wrong. Amen. Amen. And thank God for the Holy Spirit that's in us. And when we do wrong, you don't brush that off. You take it to God and you say, Lord, I spoke harshly to that person. Lord, I wasn't in proper behavior. Lord, I didn't handle this thing right. Lord, I put my foot in my mouth again. Amen. Amen. And if I do that, constant cleansing, I can have peace with God. And Romans, I think, is at 8:1 or 8:2, there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus and walk according to the Spirit, not after the flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, let me wind this up here. I'm only halfway through my notes, but I talked about battlefronts. Oh, glory to God. We have a sin nature problem. It's there. It's dormant as long as I'm abiding in faith. But if it's starting to get stirred up, those old passions starting to stir up again, then it's an indicator that my faith isn't pleasing the Lord. My faith is not in its right place. And don't get me wrong, when I'm talking faith, it doesn't mean when you go to your job and you can't do your job, because I'm trying to stay in faith. I'm trying to stay in faith. I'm trying to keep my mind on Jesus and Him crucified. I'm trying to just keep it on the cross. I'm trying to, you know, well, buddy, you're fired. Get out of here. I got to find somebody that can do a job, not think about the cross all day. Amen. That's not what we're talking about as it regards faith. It's a position that you take, amen, as you acknowledge the Lord and I go about my day. I'm in faith in the finished work. Now, let's roll up my shirt sleeves. Let's go to work, get something done today. Amen. Amen. Because it's a faith, it's a position, it's a place of standing for the believer by faith. And if I'm in there, God will work all things together for good. All things together for good. I have more here, but let me sidetrack the notes. In verse 28, Paul said that we know all things work together for good to them that love God. We see in verse 29 that God, who foreknew us that we'd come to Jesus, predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. Verse 30, He said, we were called, we were then justified, and now He's working towards glorification. And then Paul would finally say, he had to break his thought, and he said, man, what shall we say to these things? Paul was overwhelmed. He's writing this, being moved on by the Holy Spirit to pen when he's penning. And all of a sudden, he stops and he pauses. He goes, man, what shall we say to these things? What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who then can be against us? God is trying to show Paul, look at the provision of my son for you. Look at the provision of Jesus, my son, for whosoever will come and put faith in me. Man, I'll intercede for them. I'll make sure the Holy Spirit prays for them according to the will of God. You know, I'll provide for them a perfect righteousness, justification, sanctification. I've called them. I've justified them. I'm moving them towards glorification. Guess what, Paul? What can you say to these things? What can you say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against you? Listen, most of the time, you and I are our own worst enemies. We're believing things that the Word of God says is a lie. Amen? I'm here to say, if God be for you, what do you mean he's for me? He's provided you a perfect salvation, a perfect righteousness, a perfect justification, a perfect sanctification process, a new heart, a new spirit. He's entered your name in heaven's book of life. He's adopted you as your own child. He's seated you with Christ in heavenly places. Amen. Should we keep going? Amen. He lives in your heart and your spirit. Amen. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. Paul said, man, what can I say to these things? If God be for us, then who can really hinder me? Who can really be against me? Amen. See, that's where Paul is going with this message. If God be for us, if God be for you, if God be for us, for you, hallelujah. God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Why did God deliver up his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross? For us all. All for you, for whosoever will, for us. He didn't do it for him, he did it for us. Hallelujah. If he didn't spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Now I love this. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? My God. Oh, we are rich in Jesus. We are rich in his provision. We are rich in his mercy and in his love. My God, he holds you in the palm of his hand. Amen? He said, no man can pluck you out of my hand. Amen? Hallelujah. No man can pluck you out of my hand as long as you're hearing his voice and following him. That was the condition. Read it two verses before. The provision has been made. You're going to make it. Hallelujah. You're going to make it. Amen. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Amen. But it won't be your merit. It won't be your great faith. It won't be your great dedication. It won't be your great spirituality. It won't be the great things you do for the kingdom of God. It'll only be on the merit of the slain Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world in the mind of the Godhead. Hallelujah. 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 That's why your faith, my friend, must be in Jesus Christ and him crucified every single day. Jesus, the one you tell me you love, told you in his word, every day you take up my cross. What's he talking about? You look to my sacrifice on your behalf every day. Every day. And if you can do that, then you and Jesus could have a good thing going. And everything in your life, everything in your marriages, everything in your finances, everything in your physical, everything in your families, everything will work out together for good. For good. For good. Amen. But it's imperative you go God's way. And God's way is the cross. I could read the rest of that, but point's been made. Amen. Let's stand in the house today. Musicians, please. Hallelujah.
God's been good to us. Amen. He's been good to you. He loves you. He loves you.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm thankful that he loves me. I don't know about you, but I need his love. Amen. Do you know when they interview these prisoners, especially the notorious ones that have been in and out of the system, you know when they really get into their heart and they finally start spilling their real thoughts, you know what they all say, most of them, 90% of them? When I was a child, I wish I was loved. And I wish I had a dad in my life that could correct me and love me and teach me right. Amen. You and I in the body of Christ, though mother and father forsake us, the Lord took us up. You and I have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit to undergird every step you take. You're never alone. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Even if you lapse in faith, the sin nature will revive if you lapse in faith. That doesn't mean God gives up on you. The danger of that is eventually, if you don't get faith back into Christ, the finished work of the cross, the sin habits erode your faith, your want to, and it begins to dominate you. And eventually, you stop believing. There's only one thing where a person, listen, as a believer in Christ, you cannot lose your salvation, but you can forfeit it by unbelief. Amen? You can forfeit it. God made it very easy. You got to believe. You got to believe. And if something goes haywire in our physical body and we end up in a vegetable condition before we pass on out of this life, as long as I went into that condition in faith, amen, God will keep that which is committed unto him against that day. Because God is merciful and he is